Listen, you out there, you in the future,
you or know, in the present,
you're going to see the word tier list and you're going to get real horny about it. Okay. And you're going to click on the video. And any genuine opinion. This is me calling out the haters, okay? You're gonna be like, oh, I can't believe they did another tier list, but I'll watch it.
God, I can't believe, can you just like give us the whole tier list and just post a picture of it, please?
Can you not make money off your content and instead take all the thoughts that you have, condense them to three sentences and make it a Reddit post?
Welcome, everybody, to the new and improved Mind Sculptors podcast. I'm your host, Callahan, and I also have this guy who's now also a permanent host.
Yay! Announcement.
it's my best friend, Ian.
Hi.
Who's now my permanent co-host.
Yes, hello. I'm here more than once. Not that I already haven't been on this channel more than once.
But now it's like, you know, like weekly.
It's hashtag a fish.
Hashtag a fish. I would like to ask you to share the story of opening up the email that I sent to you. Because
I
sent you like declaration of intent.
I scrolled up to it, and it's like, you know how in Discord when you have it on your screen, you like, you scroll up a little bit. I just got to it and had to scroll four times before I hit the top of the message.
Dearest Ian, I hope this message finds you well.
Yeah, it was straight up like a formal letter from the 1800s. It was like, I was expecting Callahan to court me to the ball. Like, it's yeah.
Listen, when I want to make things official, I do the whole thing. Now, the only thing was, is I couldn't contact your dad because I don't have your dad's
his blessing for me to call
I couldn't get
this. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Here's my official call out. Okay.
Okay.
I have now three or four times on this podcast said, I want you to insert an image here that says this thing. I've been like, a picture of my cats, a meme. I've done it. You've left these things in the video and not actually thrown in these things. And I've had so many comments that are just like, where's the fucking pictures of the cat, Callahan? And you're just like, yeah, I'll throw it in there. So now that I'm officially the co-host of this podcast, I'm going to throw a little bitch fit if that does not come through.
So what am I inserting here for you? Do you just want a picture of everything to pop up? Here's everything.
Of Game Changer, where they ask them to like pitch an animation. And it's, they animate it live as they're pitching it. And it's one of my favorite things of all time. So I wish we could do something like that, but I also don't want to give you like probably 70 hours of work to pitch something.
You know, animation, that thing that I'm really talented at.
yeah. I said 70 hours for a reason.
So this past weekend, and you will have, or I guess by the time this comes out, not this past weekend, it would have been last weekend.
Yes.
Or the weekend before last, technically. I don't know. Whatever.
By it would have been the weekend of. Yeah. By the time this episode comes out, it will be Monday. Not the weekend right before the Monday.
Not the Monday right now. Next Monday. Unless you're listening to it on that Monday. It would have been
just in a constant state of temporal mayhem. Content creation is constantly living in the past and the future at the same time.
All at the same time.
And that's the plot of Everything Everywhere All at Once.
they're just YouTube creators trying to figure out what day they're talking to people.
What's the schedule? On Saturday, July 15th, 2023, I played Chaos Treasure Series 5, is what you're attempting to ask.
Yes, that was what I was attempting to, yes, to say before I got caught in my own semantics.
Before we did an entire fucking episode of The Time Traveler's Wife or whatever that movie is.
I was going to say before we did Abbott and Costello a bit, but that works too. So you did not make top 16.
I did not.
Or top 8 or whatever it is.
It was 16.
Yeah. Did you do 16? Okay.
Yeah.
I always forget because I've done margin. I've judged so many 1v1 and commander events at this point that they blur together.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. I had 10 points, and if I had drawn with my last pod, which 3 of the 4 of us wanted to do, we would have just gotten the top 16 cut. And it was almost guaranteed that that didn't happen. And then there was a bad judge call that you can hear about in my video for next week. Which is this your time in your time, audience? It should be at the end of this week that you're experiencing. Unless here's the craziest part: if you're listening to this day of, that's one thing. But if you're listening to this at a different time, it could be
if
wrong.
If you're listening to this like a year later, you're just so far off.
We're talking about the future in the past
and the past,
in the past too. On your head. Ian and Callahan, they're doing something else right now. They're not even here.
The idea that we could be talking to somebody and also talking to that person at the same time from different points in time is a thing that, if you think about it, is can happen.
If I'm having a conversation with you right now while you're listening to me now telling you this, congratulations. You don't get anything, but now I'm talking about you and you've been validated.
So we've turned this show into my brother and me of CDH and a variant. This is exactly what I wanted. It's fine.
Yep.
This is
chaos.
It's utter chaos. But you think about it, so is existence. So this isn't an advice show, but this is a CDH show. And that reference for all the Mbim Bam fans in the audience. So like you and Scooty or Scotty.
Were you going to ask me about the tournament, or was that just like a...
I got way off track. I was going to ask you about the tournament and how it went.
That was fun.
Yeah. You would have already seen it if you were watching to this day of. So Ian's talked about this on their channel. You played...
Or not,
depending on when you see this. So you played a Tali, not the Primal mono Conqueror. Red one. The red green one.
Yeah, the Primal Conqueror.
How did that go?
So it went like, as I said, I was like a draw away from top 16. Won on the feature match round one, which was pretty cool. It was and did this, conversating about this tournament did inspire this episode. But yeah, Tali's really cool. Like you can do infinite mana combos with it. The problem with Atali, one, is that my god, it feeds the shit out of Heuristic Study. Like, oh my god, because you cast Atali.
I thought you were gonna say it's red green.
Oh no. But yeah, it feeds the hell out of Heuristic Study, which is like kind of a pain in the butt, but whatever. And then the other big issue is that people just get scared of it, and like there were 3 or 4 times where like I was like, okay, but I literally don't know what's coming up. Like, you could just flip over. Like, I had one game where it was like a Wild Growth, a Lotus Petal, a cantrip, and then like one other stupid thing. Yeah. And it was like, okay, sure. Like, that happened. And then there was another game where I was like, I don't know. Like, guys, it's literally a blind flip. Like, I don't even know what you want from me. And it flipped over, like, with the Dockside on board, it was like Cloudstone Curio, Grand Abolisher, Imperial Seal, and a mana acceleration piece. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I guess I just had it. Like, sometimes yeah, you just exactly. have it.
Exactly. Actually, didn't even win that game. They,
that's hilarious.
Well, yeah, because they put a bunch of Mystical Mort triggers in the stack, and I was like, gosh.
God damn it.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting. I didn't get to see the list yet. You know, as of now, you haven't posted the video for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm still in the past, even though you're listening to this in the future.
Sure. I can send it to you right now if you want me
to. That would be actually kind of neat because I kind of want to look at this list. I almost messaged you.
The name is really the pride and joy of it.
I would expect nothing less from you. It's okay. So I'm going to read this name to our listeners and viewers in real time, but not real time.
Because we're in the past. Don't forget to fire.
Yeah, we're in the past.
Have you ever seen Doctor Who? It explains the whole thing.
See, the wild thing is no matter when you're listening to it, we're always in the past, except our voices might be. Except they're being transmitted to you in the present, unless you're listening to this in the future, in which case it's the future.
There's some of you that don't even know us. You only know digital replica.
I hope to God in like 500 years that this recording is somehow preserved and is what some future civilization has to try and piece together what the fuck was happening. In our society in 2023, and it's just you and I going.
They call themselves social influencers. What does that mean?
What are they influencing? Okay, so the name of this deck: Super Mega Turbo Dinosaur Explosion 3000.
That's kind of the energy I went into the tournament with. You know what I mean? There was actually, so I literally built the deck.
You took it the right amount of serious.
Yeah. I built the deck and sleeved it up the night before the tournament because I had forgotten that the chaos event was happening that weekend. I was like, you know what? I want to have fun. Like, I don't want to like go too hard. And the fact that I almost top 16 with it makes me very happy.
Okay, but you know what? Here's my challenge to you, though. I have a theory. I don't even know if it's a theory anymore. I feel like it's just a fact. I've said this many times on Twitter. I think I've said this on the show before. I believe you are the LeBron James of CEDH. And for people, and the reason is you aren't going to win the title every time, but you're going to get damn close and you're going to do it with a fucking roll of duct tape. In it'll be like, what deck did he win this week on? Ah, oh, man, he did it with like fucking Mono Black Sidisi, baby.
Sure.
Like,
I would never play such a banal deck.
we played not Yoshimaru. What's the other one mana dog?
Isamaru.
We played Ishimaru, and that's how we won the tournament. Yeah. And same thing with LeBron. LeBron James will walk into a basketball organization and he'll be like, "Hey, can you get me a star?" And they're like, "Sure, here's an okay star. And here's a roll of duct tape, and that's how you're going to figure this thing out. Yeah, and you get to a final for 10 years in a row, which is nuts.
Yeah.
But this is a cool list.
So I will shout out that I was inspired by our other. So there was one person who top 16 Mox Masters something with it. And they were missing like a lot of fast mana, like Mana Vault and Mana Crypt and all that stuff. So that one was a little weird. And then
that feels like they're very intentionally trying to not feed a dock side.
Maybe
right?
I'm pretty sure they commented on the videos and just were like, "Oh, well, it was just like a I don't proxy kind of thing," which is wild. If you make a top 16 with that, you know. But then Cole
is to show you that you can win without proxying everything. It's shock. You don't have to be the most. Anyway, that's a different podcast.
Yeah, I'm not gonna touch that one with a 10-foot pole, but yeah. But and then Just Ice, who actually won all of Chaos 5 playing a Turbo Nas-esque, but no Turbo Nas because there was no ad nauseum in it, Najeela list, actually almost top 16 one of the most recent Mox Masters with a similar list, and then I took the ideas from both of those, made a bunch of swaps.
And
decided to try a really fun deck. And, you know, it got real close and I'm happy about that.
So I guess I have like two questions mm-hmm. about it. One Why? Is how hard was it to reliably get to a food chain?
I like straight up, I just kept drawing it. Like it was weird. You just like, kept drawing it. To be honest, I thought it was very strange that I just kept drawing it, but like I just it in the cool part about it is it's very
1 second. Keep talking. I locked my wife out.
The cool thing about food chain is that it's very low requirements for the deck because it's two includes in the deck. And basically food chain is like a very solid mana engine in general, right? So there's definitely like play patterns where you can be like, okay, I'm gonna play a Tali for 7, exile it to food chain, make 8 mana, and then pay 1 more mana to get a second Tali trigger. And then that doesn't even count the fact that like there's a chance you could actually flip into creatures and just like keep cycling a Tali with food chain, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then sometimes if you just have food chain in hand, it's you're just like you play a ton of creature tutors, right? So you're just one tutor away from just winning the game.
It does feel like a deck that just like draw or not necessarily draw per se, but like gets into having a lot of cards.
You fill the board real damn fast.
Just vomits itself onto the board.
Yeah. It's definitely like so when I was playing it the night before, we were like, it was 1 a.m. by the time we started playing games, just like get a couple reps in, and I was so delirious I just kept saying, no, it's a dinosaur, it just tries to drive on in, you just go beep beep. And so anytime I was just like, I stopped politicking at one point and it was just like beep 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 the whole night.
It's like a dinosaur in a china shop. Yeah. The other question, and this kind of dovetails into our episode, what were your thoughts on, because this is something that I've been kind of curious to hear, is this was a card that we talked about a lot during spoiler season, and it was Spiteful Banditry. And obviously there's like a little bit of a direct comparison-ish to Meat Hook Massacre. What was your feeling on it? Did you see it? How did you get to play it at all?
I saw it once and it was after I had already resolved another board wipe, so it was not a great draw at the time.
It do be like that sometimes.
But the board wipe I put in a lot of work was Blasphemous Act, which is what the inspiring thing for this episode.
Yes, we were talking about this and you were like,
So game one, I straight up, I was going fourth seat against Sisay and what was the third list?
Oh, do you remember when Sisay was a fucking fringe deck? Holy shit.
Yeah, I posted the video and then I saw like 18 Sisays that weekend. Yeah. I was like, people really missed the part where I said, this is a hard deck. You can't just jam it.
And you they were posted like, ah, I'm gonna jam it. And then we talked about it on the podcast about how it's like top 10 deck in the format.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I feel like between like those, I guess if you count our first tier list with it on that three videos, it was just like a flood.
Yeah.
And when I played against it at, what was it, at Mox Masters, I was like, oh, this is neat. It's kind of frustrating because you never know what you're playing against necessarily.
Right.
But there was definitely some game actions where I had to make sure that I politicked correctly because I was like, hey, friend, we need your opposition agent that I know is in your hand to come down or we're just going to die. Yeah. If you don't do that on your turn, you're going to lose your window. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I almost won the turn cycle around, but they saw the regardless, Sisay's good and it's awesome to see Sisay good. Anyway, back on topic, you were playing a bunch of Sisay.
It was Sisay and Shalaihalar, which were all like, put a mana dork on the board, play Sisay, Jeweled Lotus, crack it, put a mana dork. So by the time it came around to me turn two, because I had a mana crypt out, I had the exact mana to go, okay, I'm gonna cast Blasphemous Act for a single mana, which every time I cast it this weekend, it was only a single mana because people are playing to the board more than they ever have. Like, even look at like Brian Koval's Blue Farm lists playing 20 creatures, right? Like, and because it's smart, right? You want to invest in something that lasts, right? Which is like investing to the board is doing that. So people are investing into the board, and I was like, cool, one mana, kill everything, clear the way for my creatures, play a Dockside, go for it. And then so that first game, I just literally went four mana. I go one mana Blasphemous Act, two three mana, put Food Chain on the board, go, okay, you saw me Worldly Tutor turn one, you know what's gonna happen. Get there.
I have one trick, guys. I do one thing. You okay there, bud? Did you swallow it wrong? See, this is really fun because I feel like I have you like kind of like in a corner right now where I can just say whatever I want about you. And you just, you know, what are you going to fucking say? You know, like I could just be like, Ian's a scrub. You know, he's, you know, 0 out of 10 cuck. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he's just not that great. You know, Lua's amazing. Like, she's the real reason Winota ever got seen. And
all right, yeah. That's too far. That's my line.
I being next to you at events when people walk up to Lua to ask her to sign their Winotas, and you're just sitting there like for our viewers at home, you'll see this, but it's always just you going.
It's happened enough to both of us that I feel a little better than when there was like one Magicon where it happened like exclusively that way, and I was like, okay.
I think what was it, Magicon Philadelphia, it's like the whole weekend you're just sitting there like,
it's okay.
But yeah, Tully is a very solid, I don't know.
It's a deck. Fun. It's explosive, right? You get to really rely on the fact that like red gives you like a buttload of rituals, right?
Right.
you know, your Seething Songs, your Jessica's Wills, your Dockside, all of that stuff works in tandem to like just be like, oh, make a bunch of mana, combo. but it's fun. And I had a good time playing it.
Yeah, that's cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, like you said, we saw the Blasphemous Act, and we were like, hey, you know what we talk about on this channel a lot is like fucking Winds of Abandon, you know, play your board wipes, take your vitamins, what it feels like, honestly. You know, eat your fruits and vegetables.
Eat your fruits and your vegetables.
Listen, so I was trying to talk, and then my brain was like, yeah, but what if you say this too? And so it was just like my brain was trying to say like three things all at once.
Yep. You have ADHD, fine. We all know.
Yeah. Me? No.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've moved states, so guess who doesn't have their medicine? But so we're going to go through and we're going to do a little tier list of what we think are the what we think of particular board wipes.
You could not have undersold a tier list more. Listen, you out there, you in the future.
You or know, the present.
You're going to see the word tier list and you're going to get real horny about it, okay? And you're going to click on this video. And any genuine opinion. This is me calling out the haters, okay? You're going to be like, oh, I can't believe they did another tier list, but I'll watch it.
God, I can't believe. Can you just like give us the whole tier list and just post a picture of it, please?
Can you not make money off your content and instead take all the thoughts that you have, condense them to three sentences, and make it a Reddit post?
Tier lists. People are horny for them. We're going to talk about board wipes, fucking white mana, let's go team. Like,
what is happening?
I don't know. I don't know.
So I think we got to start with the bad ones, right? Like, I feel like,
yeah, we have to start with the bad ones. So like, let's go ahead and get the bad ones out of the way. The ones everybody hates.
Okay. So also we're going to have multiple. Are you going to include a graphic of this?
Yeah, I'll probably include
a graphic. Okay, so you're going to do it, though, because now as you're going, I'm requiring you to at least at one point put a fucking graphic in.
Yes, listen, we're recording this far enough in advance that I'm not going to be like the night before, like, fuck, I got to get this together.
So we have S, A, B, C, D. And for me, I like S. I only have one card up there, and we can talk about that when we get to it. D tier to me is like the board wipes that at one time did something, or they're just so niche. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
C tier is like, they're fine. They have their uses. B tier is like, they're not the A tier ones, but you'll see them running around. And then A tier is like they are in the conversation for like top 10 board wipes always. You know what I mean?
Like, these should, like, honestly, S and like S to me are like, if you're in these colors, you should be running them.
Yeah.
A is, if you're in these colors, you should at least be considering them.
Yes.
Or have one to two of these.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I view it. And then B is just like, these are good in, like, for me, like, these are good where they're good.
Yeah.
And then C is, these are playable in the right deck. And then D is, I know a deck that plays them.
That's kind of for sure.
To get it out of the way, because I know everybody's expecting it, they get seen play in exactly Lavinia, and that is Armageddon, Ravages of War, and Sunder, all D tier. Wait,
Armageddon and Ravages of War sometimes see play in Charles decks. Thank you very
that's
much.
True. That's true. Fall the Thran, I guess, also deserves to be talked about in that regard
That is a Charles card if ever there was one, yes, for sure. Is.
But I mean, like, with land destruction, unless you're doing something that's like really, unless you're playing like Lavinia that really has a way of leveraging a
real
that.
Solid payoff for it. Exactly. Like Thunder, I could see, like, if you're playing like Tatiova and you have like an Azusa out already, or like, you know, I mean, a bunch of extra turn or not extra land effects, right? Those things make sense. I also have Pyroclasm on there, because at one point in time, like, that was the hotness. But,
well, I mean, that like what was it? Curious Control used to be like built around that card.
Yeah,
right?
Literally around Pyroclasm, the card, right? But that's not where we're at anymore. You know, like, that used to
there be. There are too many beefy creatures these days.
Yeah. I mean, they like every good commander just is thick for no reason. Like, you heard it here.
Think about like Nimrus. Yeah. Nimrus is like the new hotness, right? It's like a fucking 1/4. So it's like, I think it's bigger than that. Yeah, it's 1/6.
Yeah.
Nimrus has a big booty for such a small booty. Little fairy.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we both have Toxrol in this category as well.
Because like, it's one thing if you're playing Toxrol in the command zone, right?
Yeah.
But like, if you're
like, if it's a solid reanimation target, like, it feels like you could be doing a better reanimation target, right? Like,
yeah, it depends. But yes, I have one in particular that I think might be better that you have in this tier and I have in
I
B do. Tier.
Mm-hmm. But we also have Pestilence here.
Yeah.
Pyrohemia, which I didn't even know was a card.
Yeah, but it's literally just red Pestilence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
I have Devastation. The reason I. Pestilence specifically, I've seen play in Crick a lot.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? And once again, that's what the D tier is for. Yeah. Like, you pay two life, wipe the board, basically. Like, yeah.
You also have Damnation in this tier.
Yeah, like Wrath of God, Damnation. I feel like they're like, they do the job. They wipe the board. You know what I mean? They're just like, they're not at the level that CEDH needs to be. I think they can, like, if I saw someone playing a Damnation, I wouldn't be like, get out of here, casual. But like, I also wouldn't be like, yes, you're making a good choice right now. Right.
Now,
like,
now here's an interesting thing. This is also a thing that's kind of going on right now is, so are we living in the weird world where maybe Languish is actually better than like Damnation or something like that?
Yes, because like in Tivit and Nimriss and like other decks like that, if you have a command or like Tassiger, right? Like if you're playing a commander with a higher toughness, I don't think that's the worst thing to do in the world, especially if your commander is doing its own thing independently.
You know what? Tivit, I could see a really good argument for playing that over like Toxic Deluge, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Deluge is like, it also is flexible too, right?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's a I'm just gonna go with you on that one. So we have those down here. Now the other one that I have down here is Elishnorn. And I know you have this one ranked higher, but I have this ranked here because this is where I diverge a little bit, and my D is please just this, unless you are in a deck that can really leverage this in a like very specific way. I feel like a lot of white and black stacks decks rely too heavily on Elishnorn and don't have ways to either protect on Elishnorn or like deal with the fact that if there is one or two blue players at the table, you're just going to play Elishnorn Pong for a while.
Yeah,
and it's generally in decks that are like creature reliant, which is why I'm like,
Well, here's my big thing with Elishnorn is like, I think playing Elishnorn poorly means playing Elishnorn and expecting it to sit on your board for 4 to 6 turns. Mm-hmm. I think the real expected level should be like, I expect to play it and maybe get 1 to 3 turns out of it. Just by like wiping the board, going to combat, wiping the board, going to combat, kill my opponents, right? Like that's, I think that's the level we're trying to get to with that card. I think a lot of people play it in a way where they expect to be like, yeah, I'll have Elishnorn forever and no one can do anything and I'm God. And you're like, nope, that's not, not quite how that works, friends.
You know what? Once we get people to just play a good amount of board wipes, I'll move it up. But right now, I'm struggling with people even taking their fucking fruits and vegetables.
If everyone's playing like a bunch of board wipes, I feel like then maybe it gets worse, right? Because
But I at least feel better about it because at that point, it's like I'm not worried because it's like one of the things was, you could think a really good example is like people would be like, okay, well, why aren't you playing that in like any of the Arden decks? And I'm like, Arden's a 2/2. The moment this gets on an opponent's board, my deck just kind of turns off, and it's like I don't know, and it's not just Arden, it's also like Pure Steel Paladin and Stoneforge Mystic and all of the things that the deck
every card you're trying to play for sure.
So it's like one of those things where I just, another example is like Lavinia is the same way, where like we tried it in Lavinia, got laid the whole, you play Gilded Drake Pong once and you're just kind of like, okay, well that's out of the deck. So anyway, you have those down there now, or I have those down there. You have a couple other cards in your D tier.
Yeah, I have a Ruination, which is like in the right decks can be very powerful.
Ruination sounds like a concert promoter group.
For sure. Ruination. I have Sweltering Suns, which is like, because it used to be see playing Godo and like a three damage one, right? It's a little bitter than Anger of the Gods, in my opinion, just because it has the ability to cycle. But the cycle is for three, and it's like kind of cringe. And then I also put some Kiki the Hobbits down there. because it's a silly card and I have a
and you like getting to say subjugate the hobbit.
I do like to say subjugate the hobbits. Yeah, I do. I like, imagine if you're in like an all mana dork world, that like I could see a world where hypothetically someone plays subjugate the hobbits. Probably not, if I'm being honest.
How much mana is it? It's a lot of mana, isn't it?
7 mana.
Yeah.
You shouldn't play subjugate the hobbits is the point. It's just the card I like saying.
it's just a card that is fun to say. All right, let's look at the C tier here.
Yeah.
So this is where I have Damnation. Mm-hmm. This is where I have Ruination and Sweltering okay. Suns.
Okay.
Mostly out of the kind of idea that I like 4-mana board wipes in general. I think that like some of the like lower color decks should definitely be like looking at them. Like if you're a mono black deck, I feel like you should probably play Damnation, especially if you're Crick. Like seems like the deck seems like that is better than Deluge, in my opinion. Or Dam.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or like you can't play Dam. But I mean
yeah, you can't play Dam.
This is where I also have Supreme Verdict. The only reason if I could have like a in between B and C tier,
yeah,
that's where I would put Supreme Verdict, because for me, Supreme Verdict
that's where I'm at with it too. Yeah. It's the 4-mana thing, but the uncountable is huge. But also, like, what blue white decks apart from like Shorokai really want, like, need this uncounterable board wipe? And then there's also options that we'll talk about also in this tier that are also like filling that spot, right?
Right.
Vanquish the Horde is another one that's like, I think it literally only sees playing that deck, but it has the Blasphemous Act effect when it like costs less, but it never costs one is my big problem with it. It always at minimum costs double white. And that's like, that is a real cost.
Yeah. And Vanquish the Horde is one of those cards that like, I also think you have to play in exactly the right deck.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you play this in a deck with like a Nauts, you don't want to play that in a deck with a Nauts, right? Like it's just too much of a hurt piece to hit.
Yeah.
Filter Out's an interesting one. It's very niche.
I feel like it's underplayed.
I agree with you on that. But here's
like, I was very surprised that Rogue Sai Pilots were not just jamming that card all the time, if I'm being honest.
I mean, it seems like it's a ritual in that, right? Like,
yeah, a ritual and like, one of the biggest things that they always like talk about is like, they're always like, oh, I'm landing an early Remora Rhystic Study. And it's like, okay, but what if your opponents do that to you? Then you can just say 3-mana, answer that, then pop off. Like, I don't know. It seems good to me.
Yeah. Listen.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that. That's. Yeah. Maybe we keep that thought to ourselves. Okay. You know what you did, Rockside players. We know what seat you sat in math class.
Beep beep.
So Fiery Cannonade is also a card that we have here. Have this a little bit higher.
Like niche, right? But like it's really good in the niche if you're playing pirate deck, some sort of Malcolm thing, like Cannonade is not bad,
and it's really instant speed. I think a lot of that kind of gets forgotten, like instant speed's really solid.
It'd be much worse as a sorcery for sure.
Displacement Wave is a card that I kind of forget about until I'm like cut it, like it's always in like a mass entry of cards,
and you have yours up at B tier actually.
Yeah, I have it a little bit higher than you, but
yeah,
it's one of those things where it's like the XX I don't have Supreme Verdict.
No, it's not XX. It's blue X.
Blue X. That's right.
Yeah.
But it just kind of like makes me think a little bit of like Spiteful Banditry and Meat Hook Massacre in a way. And seems like it's a flexible answer.
Mm-hmm.
And blue needs.
And once again, it's like same thing. Talk about those faster decks. Like it's really nice to be able to be like, all right, everyone, pick it all up, chill the hell out. We're gonna start over.
Yeah.
Like. Creature decks, no thank you. Your stacks decks, no, I'd rather not. Like, try and redeploy all those rule laws at a time, see what happens.
Right. You know? Crippling Fear is an interesting one.
It's another niche one, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's mostly Yuriko that I've ever seen at C play in, right? But it's just like, you name ninjas and then everything else gets absolutely pantsed, right?
Right.
And so it's like, it's a really nice one-sided board wipe that a deck in the format has. So that's kind of where I'm at with it, you know?
Is it time for your favorite game show, Ian?
Is it an Agila card?
Is this an Agila? No.
God damn it. Actually, if you're playing mid-range Agila, I don't hate it. I really don't.
I also saw today they showed the like Divergent Transformations five color commander that is like in the five color. It's
why is that a Divergent deck? People need to stop.
Or not Divergent Transformation. I mean the one that Arcane Transformation. That's what I meant.
Okay.
The commander that like makes slivers.
Much more
whatever the creature. Okay. And so I posted like, is this an Agila card? And it's it's like, you know, maybe it is. And then maybe it's even more of an Agila card if you're playing this. So.
Because your Derevi is actually a warrior now. So now when your Derevi goes to combat, you make an extra token.
It gets you there a whole turn faster.
And this is an audience. That kind of intellectual thinking happened in the past. So you know what people are going to take?
Even though you're experiencing it in the future.
And I guarantee that's the first time you heard anyone make that connection. And we made it a whole week ago. But
maybe it's even longer ago, depending on when you're listening to.
Yeah, that's assuming you're watching it day of. We're talking about the future.
Fucking future, man.
I don't know why this is the symbol of the future. It's like this the person fucking future. Pointing at the future.
It's because you're telling them you got to think about it.
Use your brain.
I like actually kind of hurt my head doing that. I pounded a little too hard.
Being psychotic has a cost for sure.
Take 3 damage. Like that's kind of some interesting cards. I was incorrect. I actually have Supreme Verdict in B tier. So if we look at B tier cards.
The problem is you have Supreme Verdict in B and C tier because you're a dunderhead.
I forgot to delete it from that. Also in my C tier is Rolling Earthquake and Blasphemous Act and Vanquish the Horde. I think they're all kind of about the same. I think my big thing with like Rolling Earthquake is like dealing damage to yourself is kind of a boner.
Or
boner killer, I guess, is the full sentence that I was trying to say.
It's just one boner.
I mean, depending upon the situation, a boner is not good, right? Like, the context that you have a boner is in. Matt defines whether or not the boner is good or not. Am I wrong?
Yeah, boners are very contextual. Yeah, for sure. I can't wait for just like the compilation of like what happened on Ian's first episode of the Bean Co.
Let's see. We got in legal trouble. We
owner context for sure.
But yeah, like I do think Rolling Earthquake, like dealing damage to like everybody's faces and creature. Like if it was a little bit more one sided, I'd like it more. And I think that's something that is somewhat consistent in the ones that I rank highly. Is I like one sided guards, which is you know. Wow, a hot take.
So you're telling me you want your board wipes to affect your opponents, but not you?
Whoa. Next week on the Mind Sculptors, we'll tell you about fucking Chromox.
It's like having a mana early.
Yeah. It's like a gemstone cavern, but like it's a rock and it doesn't suck unless it's, you know, you're going not first. And you don't have it on your opening turn. It's just like good.
Deceased.
The amount. Listen, This is why I wanted to have you as my permanent co-host, because we need this energy all the time. Yeah. What other thoughts did you have on C tier?
I don't know. C tier is like a lot of things that you and I agree on a lot of them.
Yeah.
I have a lot more in B tier than you do. So I feel like that's where I got most of my spice.
Yeah. Let's go to B tier then.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's just show where we're in agreement. Because I think this is an easy like.
Yeah. So we both have Spiteful Banditry and Meat Hook Massacre as this tier, and that's it.
And then I have Supreme Verdict and Displacement Wave here.
Yeah.
And that is because Supreme Verdict does the Azorius thing of not getting countered.
Yeah.
And
honestly, I think Banditry might not be as good as Massacre, right? Because Massacre is like also they use it in Razakat's style decks for like the Leonin Relic Order loops and things like that. Like it is an aristocrat effect.
It is.
So that part's pretty cool.
Listen, they balanced fucking Spiteful Banditry just enough to make it not bust.
Yeah, that sucks, right? But if you're playing a more controlling, like red-esque deck, I think it's fine. I played it in Natalia, as I said, barely saw it, but like it's decent. I like flexibility with my board wipes, right? I have Rolling Earthquake up here because I've been a Rolling Earthquake stan for a really long time. I think it's like I played in Paco and Alden way back in the day.
OG Joyra, or not OG, but no. Weatherlight Captain, Wind Condition, baby. I'm not even joking.
And Elsha too. Like the original Elsha list would try and play it. Because it was Wind Con list, right? So you would do your Sensei's loop. You would make Elsha like a 70 power creature. You would swords your Elsha to gain 70 life, and then you would fucking because
rolling prowess, earthquake,
and then you're rolling earthquake to kill everybody. Like,
and this was before Rolling Earthquake had been reprinted at all. So Rolling Earthquake was like just like randomly like $100 some.
Yeah,
because it had only been printed like once.
I have Damn here. Honestly, okay. Damn should maybe be an A tier, but like I just find that the ability for it to target single is awesome. The board wipe part's fine, but like it is a 4-mana board wipe on the back half. It's not an instant.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-mana board wipe that gets hit by all the counter spells, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's my qualm with Damn so far. But it's a super solid card. Once again, maybe should be an A tier.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it a lot. I have Blasphemous Act here.
Yeah.
We just talked about it in the last like tier. I just think, you know, 1-mana wipe the board is very solid, and I genuinely think you're gonna find it to be that cheap many, many times. I also paid 4 for it this weekend and was fine with that.
This Blasphemous Act might be a like it goes up and down depending on what the meta is doing, right? Because like
absolutely,
it's so dependent on what is going on in like, the meta.
Would I play it in Copenhagen? Probably not. I would not play it against the Finnish meta, right? But like, would I play it at a Mox Masters? Oh my god, yes. Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. So
it's really funny because that always feels like it's a casual card, right? Like it's because it's like the casual staple Blasphemous Act. But I mean, turns out that there are some casual cards that are just good card.
Decent. Yeah. It's like sometimes casual staples can bleed over. It's a thing for sure.
Yeah.
The other one I have on here that I don't think even made your list is Tragic Arrogance, which I have been blown out by that card so many times.
I like that card. It's good.
It's just like the ability to be like, oh, you have an artifact creature. Okay, you can keep that and your Wild Growth, and I'll keep my best creature, my best artifact, my best enchantment.
I kind of think I have that in a C tier because I don't think.
Yeah.
So it's really good in stacks decks, but the problem is everybody. This is what I'm really excited about, like Memo and friends, like going on their like
control arc
because people are going to realize what control actually is. And it's not, you know, stacks with spells. It's, you know, actually playing like you're completely different game plan, really. Mm-hmm. And I felt that like Tragic Arrogance is really good in the stacks decks and is less good in the control decks.
Yeah, it depends on the stacks decks, sure. I think it's really good in what I would argue is like more mid-rangey spots.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, if you're too stacks heavy, then it like you're popping your own stacks pieces right. by resolving it. But yeah, I have seen it do a lot of really good work. Once again, the classic Charles staple, right? Yeah. Mono white guy.
It's also a Phoenix staple.
Yeah, yeah. It's solid though. It genuinely, I'm very.
It's a card that I had tested in Arden Chrom, but kind of one of the things mm-hmm. that I found out in Arden decks is it just you never want to decrease the amount of equipment you have yeah. on the board. So it's mm-hmm. like one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm making a choice between my mana or my things that are my value engines, and
right.
that kind of sucks. So my opinion of that card is definitely colored from a particular angle.
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely a very good card. We played yeah. the fuck out of that card in Lavinia. That card in Lavinia mm-hmm. is cracked.
Yeah, it seems really good there. I also have Devastation Tide on this tier, which might be, this is my hottest take, I think, in the whole thing.
I think this is 100% your hottest take.
Yeah, I just think the card is probably really underplayed. I think there are a lot of decks that want that type of effect to just like get rid of all the non-land permanents.
Yeah.
Being able to miracle it by just like going, okay, my opponents have an insanely insurmountable board state, right? And then end step, Vamp Tutor, Mystical Tutor, Personal Tutor, I guess, if you're at that stuff, you can't do that at end step. But put it on top of your library and then go untap, reveal it, miracle for 2 mana. Completely bounce everything your opponents are doing and then have so much left over because once again it costs 2 mana seems really, really good to me. I feel like it's just really underplayed, and it might just be because it doesn't have a great spot right now because it obviously has a CMC of 5, right?
One interesting thing about this
yeah
is you can cast this for its miracle cost on any turn if it's the first card you've drawn that turn.
Yes. Right.
So, so there's like some niche situations where you're in a pickle and yeah, you have like a draw engine out and you could just like put this on, like get a way to put it on top. And yeah, I see that. I think mm-hmm. maybe B might be a little high.
Sure.
I think C is where I would put it because I'm trying to think of the amount of decks that I would want to play this in is like
that is the contingent factor. I think it's insane where it's insane, and I think it's just like it's unplayable where it's not. You know,
yeah.
I don't even know about unplayable, but it's really not good for certain decks too.
It feels very, 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 very strong in a deck like Yuriko, where yeah, like top yeah, deck yeah. manipulation is like your entire game plan, right?
Yeah, that's very valid.
Or like Elsha might be another. Deck where this is like cracked in half.
Yeah.
Any deck where like you're able to top deck, do a lot of top deck manipulation.
Mm-hmm. I think here's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to jump up to our S tier.
Okay.
Because a lot of the conversation in A tier spoils our S tier.
That's fair. You know what I mean? That's fair.
So
let's talk about the S tier then. Mm-hmm. Because we have one singular card that we agree on.
Yes.
And that is Cyclonic Rift.
Yeah, and I also only have one card in my S tier, yes. right? So, yeah.
I mean, what is there to say? It's the OG. It's the Michael Jordan mm-hmm. of board wipes. It's the Babe Ruth of board wipes. It's the it's the Tom Brady of board wipes. Is it the most sexy card in the package? No. Is it the best of all time? Damn right it is. And so it's just okay. Michael Jordan is kind of more of a flashy card, but regardless, you know, more of a Tom Brady. But you know,
I'll do it since I'm now a co-host. I can do a similar analogy.
Give an analogy that the nerds will understand.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Meryl Streep of board wipes. It's the the Mandy Patinkin of board.
C theater nerds, we've got you covered. Listen,
got you. Yeah,
Ian's got you.
The worst part is there's going to be the theater nerds who are like, Ian chose Mandy Patinkin. Yeah. So,
Oh my gosh, where's you know, it's the guy who played Lincoln, you know? It's like that. It's what's his
name? Daniel Day-Lewis?
Daniel Day-Lewis, that one.
Yeah, it's Cyclonic Rift is the Daniel Day-Lewis of board wipes, and we can all agree on that.
Is it a little too serious? It costs a lot of mana? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's going to do the job. And it's going to do it really well. Basically, where we differ is I have two other cards in S tier. Mm-hmm. And this is where I have Winds of Abandon and Dam. So, to the surprise of literally nobody, Winds of Abandon is, for me, is very, very high. And that is just because the amount of times that I have blown people out with that card is so many. It's stupid because not only, first of all, and I know you're in the comments and I know you're going to comment it because you do it every fucking time I bring it up. Name me a deck right now that plays more than like three basics and isn't one to two colors.
Oh, yeah, that changes the math there, huh?
Like, obviously one color decks play basics. You got me. Oh, no. I gave Godo four basic mountains. Whatever shall I do? Yisan got three extra lands. Really sucks. Really glad that I permanently exiled their fucking Elvish Reclaimer thing or whatever it is that they use to untap whatever. What's the thing that they use to untap the fucking Yisan or whatever the green bullshit is.
I don't know. There's so many little dudes.
Whatever the thing, whatever the untapper things are. Hey, you got your lands. That's fine. Too bad I exiled your thing. You need to win. This is also one of the other things that does make this better than Cyclonic Rift in very niche situations, though, is because this is, speaking of that, is because you know how like decks that play like a Shaya are like Psych Rift proof. Winds of Abandon just doesn't give a shit. Winds of Abandon is like, oh, you're a creature, cool, go away. So
I mean, also doesn't hit artifacts and enchantments. And
it does only hit creatures. But like you were saying earlier, I think Winds of Abandon just keeps getting better as the meta becomes more creature based. People play these greedy fucking mana bases. Like, this is how greedy people are getting, okay? Morgan, the most conservative, eats his fruits and vegetables Magic player that I know. I cast the spell and it resolved. He did not have a basic to get in a three-color deck. So, like, if Morgan, who is the epitome of responsible Magic.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, it's just, to me, very much one of those cards where it's like, I cast this in a Mox Masters and I just wiped the board. I think one person got a basic and I was just kind of like, cool, it swing. And
my thing is, and this is where our list differentiate, right? Is Cyclonic Rift is an instant speed. It hits every permanent type that is in the land, and it like just does what it needs to do at such an efficient rate, right?
Yeah, but I play three fairy. It's fine.
But yeah, like the ability to be instant speed, right? Yeah. So like, yeah, with Winds of Bin, you're tapping out sorcery speed to do this thing. Yeah. And I think for me, Cyclonic Rift is just uncuttable in 90% of blue decks. Maybe Rog'Sai is the exception. And like,
no, Rog'Sai needs to play that card. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you can't bounce your own stuff. It's fine. Eat your fucking fruits and vegetables, guys. Like,
sure. I think it's more about the fact that they never get to seven mana, but yeah.
What do you mean they never get to seven mana? Are you kidding me? The deck's just rituals and fucking mana rocks. Like,
I don't know. This is what I've heard. This is what they tell me.
You guys tell me you know how to do math, but you're a deck that plays almost exclusively. There's some fuckhead's going to be in the comments and be like, actually, we play Rhystic Study, so we know how to grind. We're gonna piss people off with this episode, and I love it.
We
Oh my god.
Listen, right. We're a team now.
Oh no.
Oh no. I'm trapped.
Insert the Kelsey Ballerini "If You Go Down, I'm Going Down Too" song. So like, but I guess for me, I don't think Winds of Abandon or Damn are A tier. Because of the fact they're so versatile, right?
Sure.
I think like there are a non-zero amount of times where I've had to cast a Winds in a pinch. Like it never feels great, but you do it in a pinch. And you're like, mm-hmm. All right, here's the really annoying thing. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Yes, that isn't the most ideal situation, but I think that flexibility from being just a 6-mana spell to a 2-mana spell makes it just so, so, so much better.
Right.
I don't know that it's an A. I said this earlier, if I could make a tier in between S and A, I would put them there. I don't have one. I think they're better than the other stuff I have in A tier, so I'm putting mm-hmm. them in S tier.
That's fair.
That's how I feel about it. And Damn, Damn is one of the cards that is always getting cut in my lists, even though it is a card that I tell people to play a lot, and I do think you should play a lot. But I do think that you play either Winds or Damn. I don't think it's a one and I don't think you ever want to play both. I think you want to play one or the other, because I do think you want to be on
one of the
like Fire Covenants or Toxic mm-hmm. Deluge effects too, that are a little bit more like flexible.
Speaking of our A tier,
speaking of,
I mean, so like Deluge, right? Like that's one of those cards. It's like pretty obviously an A tier board wipe. Mm-hmm. It's been plaguing Winota decks for a really long time because the word indestructible is
for a long time
irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's flexible, it kills a bunch of stuff. It's only 3 mana. Cards the big crack. I don't know what else really to say about it.
Eat your fruits and vegetables.
Eat your fruits and vegetables, yeah. Calling Ritual. Very good in fast decks.
Also good in slow decks too. Mana.
Really? Calling?
Yeah, so my experience with it has been in like big deck, like decks that are kind of like specifically I've seen it in the like Atraxa builds where you just need a ton of mana anyway. And so it kind of does two things.
Yeah, I've done, I think I want to say like 8 coaching sessions about Atraxa over the past 2 weeks, and Culling Ritual is almost always one of the first cuts we go for.
Really?
Yeah, because all the pilots are like, we never have blue and white. After we cast the Culling Ritual.
Well, that sounds like a mana base issue, but
yeah, well, attractor players do tend to build bad mana bases, but yes, I've noticed that is a really bad pattern with that deck for some reason.
See, so I've never had that experience because, as you all know, I am at all of my decks are, even when they're 4 or 5 color decks, are Azorius decks, and then everything else is a splash. Mm-hmm, so I don't have that issue because I'm better.
Oh my god, Cringe Lord.
Culling Ritual's really solid. I do get what you're saying on that though. Like I think that makes a lot of sense.
I have Winds of this tier.
Yeah.
I think it's everything you said about it, I agree with. I just don't think it's as good as Cyclonic Rift. I want to hold Cyclonic Rift on a pedestal and just say, like, this is what you want in a board wipe. Everyone else can be fine.
Try to be better.
Match what your brother's doing.
You know what I gotta say though? I do feel accomplished because I feel like it has taken you a year to come around on this card. Because a year Winds of Abandon, yeah. Because when
I bought a fucking Winds of Abandon the moment we talked about it on this podcast. I bought a Japanese foil and said, you're probably right.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You're thinking of, I think, literally everybody else.
That's true. I've had to do a lot of work on this card, but I finally started seeing it pop up. And I'm just like,
that card won me like 17 games single-handedly in Jetmir. Like, it's like stupid.
Yeah, the card is really good. Who came around on this card? I think it was Pongo who started to come around on this card.
It's probably one of the TT3 boys.
Yeah, I've put in a lot of good work, I feel like, on this card. I'm very proud that I can claim a card that I have influenced in the metagame. Fire Covenant has been around since for fucking ever.
Yeah, I feel like this is the most play it's ever seen.
Yeah.
No, it's a very like. I don't know. I really like. I feel like there for years I hadn't heard this card's name, and nowadays it's like, oh, you play it in blue farm. And it's like, okay, sure.
So maybe, maybe because I played a lot of Paradox Storm, I was very familiar with this card. And Paradox Storm was kind of like the brother to Curious Control. So okay. there was a lot of crossover in the cards that they played.
Okay.
And so this was one of the cards that they both played in. Like, so Fire Covered Into Me is just, I've just always had it on my radar. And my black red decks generally have it in it. Mm-hmm. But I did, I have honestly replaced it with Delayed Blast Fireball, which is a card we both have.
Yeah, I love Delayed Blast Fireball. Card's dumb.
But it can't remove a Dranith, Ian.
Yes, that is, I mean, so that is the biggest downside of the card, right? Is that, like, it, I feel like the decks that want to play Delayed Blast Fireball are also decks that get hurt by Dranith really badly.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, the card's still stupid.
Yeah.
Like, the card is still very, very powerful. Hey, it's a win condition. In
play
some
more than one board wipe.
Yeah, like it hits your opponents. It's I literally won in response to a Thoracle Pact the other day by casting a Delayed Blast Fireball to kill my opponent at 2 life. So like, it's I don't know. It just the card is very strong. It does its thing. It's a one sided board wipe. It's instant speed, right? Like all the stuff we're talking about, the benefits of Psych Rift. It just has the potential to be a little slower.
I mean,
it's
very much like a Psych Rift esque. Type of card, like it costs a similar amount.
And in the Fortel side, like solid, it's just very obvious.
Yeah,
unlike having a Psych Rift, like it's not like you can't just overload the Delayed Blast Fireball, right? Yeah. Like you have to Fortel it and then you have to jam it, right? And it's like, it's once again, you're giving away your game plan, right? But like,
I wonder what you foretold. I wonder if it saw it coming.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, the counter spell.
Yeah.
It's Raven form.
It's fine. And then you have Out of Time here.
Yeah, Out of Time is stupid. I think it's one of the more niche board wipes in the format, but I think it is the second best board wipe in the format, like by far.
Interesting.
I think for what it does, it's insane. Like I think the way you feel about Winds of Ban is how I feel about Out of Time. 3 mana. Phasing everything out, death triggers don't count, flicker things don't work, like all of that's it gets rid of commanders forever.
It's true,
forever, because the amount of times the lowest Out of Time I've ever seen is for 5 turns, and that's in a game of CEDH. You're never seeing that card again, ever.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Yeah,
thing I have about it is I feel like that's got to be really good in the like Timna Malcolm, the like really fast like
I know Dehada is like the best place to play it right now.
Oh, sure. Dehada, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's a really solid place to play. The other deck that I always think about with it is Amanatu, and obviously other Planeswalker deck it's really good with.
Amanatu, yeah.
Amanatu abuses the fuck out of that card.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. I would probably put it in A tier. I didn't even think about that card, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's ruined my life multiple times. So, wrong card.
I'm interested. I'm interested for next week's episode when we get to talk about our tier list, because I want to see where you're at on the Dehada issue, because I don't want to talk right now about it. Save that for the episode.
Yeah.
But.
The spoiler for next week is I think it's more copium than dopium, but we'll go from there.
You don't believe in Mardu Summer?
I have feelings. We can talk about next week.
Oh my goodness. Well, that about wraps things up for us this week. Ian, how do you feel about your first official podcast as the official secondary host or co-host?
Yeah, you know, I made a joke that would get me canceled. You talked about boners way more than I thought would be happening.
More than I thought we've ever talked about boners in our entire relationship.
Right. We made a tier list. I accused the audience of being horny. So a really solid first run.
Really good. building bridges. For the people who watch our content and don't watch yours, which might exist like three people,
sure.
Where can people find you on the internet outside of the Mind School?
So I am Ian of the YouTube channel Comedian MTG. You can find me over on YouTube under @ComedianMTG. You can find me on Twitter under the same old moniker there. But yeah,
funniest YouTube channel on the internet.
Not at all. But yeah, it's anything tournament CEDH it's your place to go. I break down the big tournaments, break down the top 16, go over deck lists, go over what's doing well in tournaments. I do stupid shit like play Atali at tournaments and see how that does and break those things.
You just
down.
Do good with it for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I have a pretty decent history of doing pretty okay at CEDH. So if you want to come check out the channel, it's a pretty cool place.
Certified good player and good coach. Thank you.
Yes, I also do CEDH coaching. You can hit me up on my email at comedianmtg@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, Discord, all those things. Although Twitter lately has done the stupid thing.
Twitter's
every
fun.
Day they update the thing. It says you can only get DM'd by verified users. And it's like, what? It's criminal. But anyways, yeah, it's like not like my job is based off of getting Twitter DMs randomly.
Email him at comedianmtg.
Yeah. Hit me up at comedianmtg. Or find me in Discord.
Yeah.
I'm in the TMS Discord. I'm in my Discord. I'm in a thousand other places. So.
Yeah, that's a really easy way to find them. You can become a patron on the Mind Sculptors for a whole $2 and support
that's
us a little bit.
More than $1.
It is more than $1. And you can support us on there, get access to our Patreon exclusive Discord server, except for the people who aren't patrons that I gave access to. But not you, but you maybe. I'm talking to the audience.
Hey, future person, we're talking to you.
No, not you. Yeah. You.
Give me $2. Go in the Discord now.
You know what's wild? I want to know if it's the same on your channel. At least 60%. On YouTube of our views comes from people who aren't fucking subscribed to the channel.
That's crazy.
That's bullshit. What are you it's doing? Like, hit the subscribe button
in the future
or now, but they're not like, yeah, now in the future now.
I was actually gonna subscribe, but they talked way too much about boners this episode, so it's not my kind of Christian podcast, I'll tell you that.
Listen, I thought that they were a man of God, but it turns out that they're not even a man. It's amazing. Well, excuse me, they say they're a man, but this Southern Kentuckian sounding fella, I'm gonna get fucking killed. I don't believe in the differences in gender.
Oh my god, okay. You know you gotta cut that.
Yeah,
right?
I gotta cut that one. Oh man. For the record, I do believe in the differences in gender, as in I am a non-binary human. Look at it. I have the haircut. I don't know how to end this episode now.
For sure. Hey everyone, it's Ian, also from the past. This is a different Ian from the past from before, because several of my cells have died, and therefore I'm actually not the same person I was at the start of this episode. I just want you to know that supporting the Mind Sculptors supports you, because your brain is enriched by learning this content. And if you feel that you've lost intelligence by watching this episode,
that sounds like a you problem.
I was going to say you could tell us about it on the Mind Sculptors Discord or in the comments of this video.
Yeah, definitely in the comments. Do that one.
Yeah. For those 10 people who used to watch the MLC and talk about how I was awful and they didn't want to see me on the Mind Sculptors anymore, feel free to leave a bunch of comments down below.
We'll gladly respond.
Yeah, for sure.
You're a salty bitch, Ian. Did you know that?
No, that's true. Well, I mean, that part's fine.
No, but for real, please do like, comment, subscribe, like actually, like that does help the algorithm a lot, helps the channel out a lot. And yeah, that's the show. Thank you for tuning in. I used to say from all of us at the Mind Sculptor. Now it's the both of us. I'm Callahan, and that's
and yeah, I'm Ian.
This has been the Mind Sculptor.
This is the choice you made.
This is the choice I made, and I'm happy about it. See you next time. Okay, we need to chat going in the night. Tell me what you want.